It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
And Mark Holland joining Daniel Pryor today. Once again, it's time for life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. His thoughts, his wonderful website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. And we've been having fun with these programs last couple of weeks. You're having not so much fun, though, working on the yard, Daniel.
No. I don't. That's okay. We can.
Yards are maybe easier compared to some of the issues of the heart, though. Hey, yeah, this week we're talking about issues of the heart. Is he right for you? Is she right for you?
Yes.
Timely.
Issues of the heart.
This time of year, springtime, people getting ready maybe for a spring or early summer wedding.
Yeah.
And Daniel Pryor to the rescue with some great insights here.
Well, I think insights are good for this. And, you know, everybody wants a checklist when they come up to this kind of decision in life. And actually, in over the next couple of weeks, Mark, we're going to be talking about marriage right now the first time around, and then later on at a show probably in another week or so, we're going to be talking about marriage the second time around and the third time around.
Because there you go.
Regardless, people want some kind of a wish that there was a checklist, you know, and so there are personality inventory tests and things that people go through. However, there are so many exceptions to the rule. My wife and I, before we were married, we were at a church. She was in a home group, and I was in a different home group, and her home group leader told her, "Don't marry that guy. If he doesn't love you now, he won't love you." And I was pretty selfish and, you know, kind of really self-centered. I didn't realize it then, but and we've been married for 37 years. We have a wonderful relationship, but there was a growth process in it. There was a lot of learning, but there are exceptions to the rules. And I think that just about any personality test we would take would say, no, you're not going to make it. But we've made it wonderfully. So that's kind of the red herring in all of this is that there are exceptions to the rules. And so even if you take personality inventories that tell you, you know, a Taurus shouldn't marry a Taurus, you probably aren't going to take that one. But, you know, my wife and I are both born in May. And so, you know, that's kind of a no-no, you know, in that for people who pay attention to those corny things. Anyway, so I've come kind of as close as I can to a sort of checklist. But, you know, nothing is going to get around or nothing is going to trump just being informed, getting counseling. And all counseling isn't equal. That's another red herring in there. Just, you know, a lot of churches, maybe all churches, have a kind of maybe a pre-marriage counseling course. And, you know, if you're thinking about getting married, don't count on that to answer all the questions. If for no other reason that you're trying to hide stuff, aren't you? I mean, you're trying to get away. You're trying
put
to go ahead and get
forward,
married.
Yeah.
And even if people tell you, you know, don't do it, you're going to do like my wife and I. You're going to go ahead and do it anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting off talking to the gals first. And actually, as a guy, I think I'm going to admit here and say that gals have the harder task.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Because I think that women start changing and maturing and preparing for commitment a lot earlier in life. Tell you a little short story. When my daughter was probably about, I think, 8 or 9, somewhere in there, her body started to change, and she started to go, you know, into puberty, started having the menstruations during the month. And I'm totally oblivious to this. So it's just my wife and I and my daughter, who has always been my little pal. And so got up one morning, and the routine was my wife would take her to school. And I think I was in school at the time, and I went later. So the routine was my wife would take her to school, and then I would pick her up at the end of the day. So my wife is getting ready, and she's hustling and getting things going, and my daughter comes down for maybe a snack before they head out. She's holding her stomach, and I say, "What's the problem?" She says, "I'm not feeling well." And I say, "Go back to bed. I'll call the school." So she's heading back to bed, and I pick up the phone, and I'm on the phone, and my wife comes down. She says, "Where's Margaret?" I said, "I sent her back up to bed." "Why?" And I said, "She's not feeling well. I'm calling the school." So my wife takes the phone out of my hand and hangs it up and said, "You don't just stop." And I thought, she said, she's having her period. You don't just stop. And I thought, you don't?
Okay.
Guys do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but at that age, at that early age, my daughter was already beginning to realize that life isn't just, you know, you don't just get certain things, and you got to take the good with the bad. And already I can see at that age, she's starting to have to let go of kind of the fairy tale of life and, you know, realizing that she doesn't get all the choices she wants, you know. And so I just understand from even that small scenario, and I'm looking at how she's grown up and the gals have grown up, and knowing the way that the guys grow up, I just think that women are a lot more realistic about life in general when they get to that age, more mature, so more prepared for commitment. And so they have they're kind of meeting guys who are on a different level,
mm-hmm.
and need to do some growing up in most cases. So I'm going to start off here with a kind of a question, sort of a questionnaire. And if you're listening, if you got a pencil and paper, you might have time to jot these down. I'm going to try to have them posted at the website too, ChristianCounselorsForum.com. I'll probably have them in the archives under special edition, and it'll be marked so that people will know what this is. Questions for a young woman to consider when she's interested in a young guy and they're talking about marriage. Look at his mother and father. Their relationship together. What you want to see is a balance of power. You want to see an equality of accomplishments. It's interesting to consider what their vocational choices were, what their hobbies are, and even their friends, what their friends are like. Because regarding the balance of power, a lot of times you'll maybe be at this person's house, and you'll see that maybe the father makes all the rules, calls all the shots, makes all the decision, and the mother is kind of just stays back and lets that happen. Or you might see just a flip flop of that, where the mother seems to be more domineering. Those things indicate some potential problems in the son, because they are indicators of how the mother and father respect or don't respect one another. So those are interesting things. What you'd like to see is a balance of power where each one recognizes and not just patronizing.
Mm.
They're not just patronizing. Not just say, you know, complimenting someone because you sort of feel like that's all that they really do well. So I compliment them a lot. But actually, a balance of power. Feeling equal in accomplishments. They don't have to be out working outside the home, but if the mother is making the home and keeping the home, you should see in the father a genuine appreciation for that, for all that they do. And let me tell you, that's a lot. I did a Mother's Day one time for my wife where I said, okay, I'm going to do it right this time. You're not going to do anything today. It's Mother's Day. This has been some years ago. And I started off in the morning doing everything. And by the evening, I was exhausted. And I thought, boy, I'm not going to do that again. Mm-hmm. And then it dawned on me that if I was my wife, I would start the next morning doing the same thing. So it's a lot.
What about if the parents are not together? They've both been remarried, or they've got a single mom and a dad's has remarried. How do you get a gauge on what's going on then?
Yeah, you still look at how they're treating. If it's a new husband, new spouse situation where there's a marriage, so it would be a stepfather or a stepmother. You'd still look at how the balance of power, and you'd look at their vocational choices. Say for example. If the father or the stepfather is something, you know, career military, police officer, mental health counselor, all of these things point to, which we'll discuss in a minute, ways of maintaining certain distances from people. There's nothing that's insignificant. Hobbies, are these hobbies that draw them together? Are they hobbies where they go off on their own and stay for periods of time? So you're just basically looking for. Now, another thing that might be interesting at this point is to try to get the story somehow of what the divorce, if there had been a divorce, and let's say this is a young guy who's just living with mom. it would be interesting to have some kind of account of how that divorce happened and what this young man's response is to that now, mm-hmm. how he's dealt with that. Kind of moving on here a bit. And obviously when we're going through this, these are pretty deep waters, so we're not going to cover, it's not going to be okay just to take this half-hour show.
One, definitely look at the parents. What are they like? Yeah. How do they communicate? Sounds like the main thing you're saying there, too, is just how do they treat each other? Mm-hmm. How did mom and dad treat each other? Mm-hmm. How are they treating each mm-hmm. other now? If it's with a lot of disdain and a lot of rancor, mm-hmm. that's going to have an effect mm-hmm. on the guy she's mm-hmm. looking at.
Yeah, because it points to how they regard each other.
Mm-hmm.
And behaviors are beliefs. So if you're wondering what your young man believes, look at his behaviors. And so we would look at things like, is he industrious? That is he a creative person? Does he do things with materials that he has, whether it's homework or, maybe he's the kind of a guy that's, building things, whether they be, models or electronic gadgets or something. Is he a person that's industrious and he starts something and then he finishes it? Is he helpful around the house? What's his room look like? What does the rest of the house look like? Does he pick things up when he walks by if they're there, or does he just assume that somebody else is going to pick that up? Is he conscientious? Is he empathetic? I've got that one in big, bold letters. Mm-hmm. Is he empathetic? Can he put himself in another person's place and say, I wouldn't want that to happen to me. I'm sure not going to do that to another person. Does he empathize, or is he oblivious to that sort of thing? Is he thoughtful of others? Another thing is he guided by conviction, or is he just kind of wandering, bouncing from one opinion to another, or is he guided by a conviction? That tells me that he's putting some thought into life and he's taking it seriously.
What about, is he a Christian?
Yeah, I guess I've assumed this, that's could be found fundamental. There might be people listening who aren't Christians, and obviously we're going to get to a point where the purpose of marriage is going to matter,
mm-hmm.
and whether a person's worldview is going to have a lot to do with
Definitely.
How they perceive the purpose of marriage. And the purpose dictates the process. So if the purpose of marriage is just temporary or askew in some, then the process is going to be temporary and it's going to implode. So purpose is critical and worldview is critical. Mm-hmm. So yes, if you're a Christian gal, you just can't afford to consider someone who's not a born-again Christian. Just can't go right.
Interesting you put in here, is he a dreamer or a goal achiever? So
yeah.
You're saying dreamers never, it's not good to be a dreamer?
Well that's kind of a misnomer, a misconception that, achieve your dreams. You do not achieve dreams. And it's important for young gals to get the pulse of what this guy is about. Is he a dreamer? Is the sort of guy that sits around and saying, if only, if I had a chance, if somebody give me a chance to
right.
do that, I could do this. Because these people are going to turn out to be angry people. The difference is a goal achiever, and that is a dream. You cannot achieve a dream because it's free-floating. It's not attached to anything. In order to achieve that, you have to turn it into a goal, and the goal has steps to it, and there's something that you can do each day to achieve the goal. Now, the difficulty for men is that when I turn my dream into a goal, it's no longer magical. It just becomes a task, a daily task, and that doesn't interest me as much as being able to dream, the Roy Orbison song dream comes to mind.
Right.
Dream. You want to see your young man not just dream dreams, but turn those dreams into goals. And he should have steps and he should have a plan and he should be working the plan. And then you've got a guy that's not going to get angry. He's going to get busy.
Good.
Okay.
Well, it's interesting. I never thought about that as being a distinction between the dreamer and the goal achiever. Because you want to have some dreams, but yeah, if you're not practical, you just get mad. Mm-hmm. And you don't want a guy who's mad. We're talking with Daniel Pryor. This is Sound Mind. Daniel Pryor, a life coach and counselor, BibleBasedCounselor.com for his website, and your other website, too, that you post a lot of things on.
Yeah, ChristianCounselorsForum.com is where I post articles. Mm-hmm. ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
Mm-hmm. And your phone number?
Is 425-778-6169.
And you have offices in Bellevue and Edmond. So as you're listening to Daniel today and you're maybe getting ready to get married, or your daughter or granddaughter maybe is thinking about, is he right for her? We're discussing that subject. We'll get to Is She Right for Him a little bit in our second half of our show as we come back with more of Sound Mind here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland hanging around as well, and it's always great to hear some of the great insights into counseling issues and, well, one of the biggest issues of life, getting along with your spouse and picking a spouse. Our subject this week, is he right for you? We were talking about is she right for you is going to be in there as well, but we're not sure if we're going to have time for the guys this week. Might have to be a separate show.
Too much work for the girls.
For the girls. Well, continuing, we were talking about before the break, make sure that he is not just a dreamer, but he has some goal achieving in there as well, because otherwise it makes him angry. I thought that was an interesting insight.
Person that's dream oriented, and men tend to be, not always, but men tend to be dream oriented. It's so easy to point a finger at someone else. This is why I've not been given. You see the whole thing, the whole racism issue. I think a lot of it is, you know, pointing the finger and saying, I don't have this because of that.
The victim
because
mentality.
Of you. Yeah, the victim mentality is probably a better way to say it.
How is that going to affect her? Why is this something a real red flag? Why is
because
that?
She'll be the first one he'll point at.
Yeah. As I'm not to, getting anywhere
because of her. In fact, I had a client one time. A couple came in, young couple. They'd been married just a short time, but she had a tiny baby, not a year old, and she was pregnant again. And the husband came in and sat with his arms crossed, and he obviously didn't want to be there. And his complaint was that he said, she won't acknowledge any of my dreams. Mm. Now you're going to think I'm exaggerating here and I'm making this up, but I'm not. I asked him what his dreams were. And all she really wanted him to do was to stick with his job and just kind of help her get through these this small child in the pregnancy. Just kind of, these were his goals. No joking. He said, within 10 years, I want to have my own private submarine. See, you're already laughing. You think I'm joking. My own private submarine, Learjet.
Okay.
He had a state job. I mean, you know, private submarine, Learjet.
And she's keeping him from that.
And he wanted properties to own homes in the U.S. and Europe. Okay. So, and she was keeping him from that. All she wanted him to do was, can we take care of the two babies first? And then we can work on the submarine or the jet, whichever, you know, so anyway, dreamers can, and then the dreamer will, he'll point at her. First of all, you're the reason I'm not pursuing this. Mm-hmm. So you want a guy who is a goal-oriented person, you know, and then the difference between the goal-oriented person is saying, to himself or herself, I don't have this today because I didn't build it yesterday. You know, the goal has a step, and if I don't achieve it today, I won't have it tomorrow. So it's just
very practical and industrious. I want him to be a hard worker, but sometimes if she's too worried, he's going to be like just a workaholic. Can you tell that right away with a young? Do you think women can spot that as a problem right away?
Yeah, we can. Comes in.
I would think initially that might be kind of attractive until they have to live with it for a while.
Well, and I guess another thing we should say, there's a caveat here. There aren't any perfect people. So this is, you're not going to find the perfect man, but these are things that a lot of people, they don't bother to look at, and they think they're okay, but there's trouble hiding. The thing about the workaholism and the thing about addiction is an anger behavior. So whether it's alcoholism or workaholism, there's anger behind it. And so the critical thing is that when you need this person to not be working on that, but need them to spend some intimate time, they start to get angry because their work is an anger behavior.
Mm.
And so you want a person, we're going to get down to this about, you know, does he listen to you? Is he interested in your welfare?
So the bigger issue then is, he angry or not? That's a real red flag. Is this guy an angry person? You're talking about just even a sign as well. How does he behave in traffic?
Yeah. the thing is about anger, it doesn't always look like anger. As you were just pointing out, sometimes it can look like guy's always working.
Mm.
But he's, you know, if he's truly a workaholic, that is, if he's using work to escape, what's he escaping? Well, he's escaping relationship. Mm. That's what he's escaping. Mm. Okay. So that would be a bad idea. No, until he's got some help. So we were looking at, what's he like in traffic? For guys, traffic is so much an ego thing for so many guys. So what's he like in traffic? And you've seen this happen. Is he self-centered? You've seen these young guys tearing down the road with the gal in the car or on the motorcycle, just ripping down the road with the gal on the motorcycle without a first thought of her safety. And if he cares that little for you in the car, he's going to turn out to be self-centered and abusive in the marriage. I mean, he's already, in a sense, abusing you by threatening your life. And, he's just...
Interesting. So traffic habits right away, because going on a couple of dates.
Traffic habits.
How you get to know people. You're going out, driving around, and right there, there's a good test. Test.
Patience.
That's one of Daniel Pryor's.
Patience. Okay. Does he look at other people in traffic as human beings with stories, or is everybody just somebody that he's competing with?
So really pay attention to that. Okay.
Is he socially appropriate in dress and conduct? You know, there's kind of a thing about, you know, do your own thing, be your own person. If everybody is dressing up, you dress down. You know, if they're being polite, you be a snot, you know. Is he socially appropriate in dress and conduct? Does he have to be the limelight? Does he have to be, you know, this is me, this is, you know, or is he picking up on social cues and is he behaving appropriately? Because if he's not, then that's an anger behavior. That's a shame-based behavior. Trying to stand out, that kind of ego-centered, narcissistic, that's a shame-based behavior. And shame is going to turn into anger. He's going to be attacking you.
Does he embarrass you?
So I've seen.
What would that look like?
Well, I've seen I'm still in the context of appropriate dress and conduct. You know, sometimes this guy will kind of show off, almost seemingly show off for the gal. So he's got to arrive everywhere like a peacock. He's got to stand out. She might say to him, you know, could you wear something a little more appropriate? And then he's no, I wanted. He's embarrassing.
You're cramping my style.
Yeah, you're cramping my style. Is he responsible with money? Is he responsible with time? His time and other people's time. Is he on time? Is he late? Doesn't care. They can get over it. That's the way he's going to treat you. I don't care about you. You can get over it. So how does he treat people's money? Is he thoughtful of you? Does he listen to you? Does he listen to your opinion? Does your opinion matter as much to him as his opinion is supposed to matter to you? Is he interested in your life, your ideas, your health? Is he interested in your welfare? Another thing is, you can tell a lot about a man by the friends he chooses and the friends that choose him. So this is one interesting place to look. Do you trust and respect his friends, or would you not trust his friends? You know, if you're with a guy and you say, well, I get along with Joe or Terry or whatever, but he's got some really weird friends.
His friends are women?
I think that could be a concern, because a question down here toward, you know, well, I'll just jump down. How does he interact with men his age? What role does he take with men his age? Does he lead? Does he follow? Or does he distance? So if all of his friends are gals, then there's something going on between him and other guys where he's not comfortable. Maybe he feels like he always has to compete with them, or he feels like that he's outclassed by them, or some reason he wants to stay away from men. Mm-hmm. And this is going to affect his ability to have work, how he responds in employment.
What if he's kind of a loner? Is that necessarily a bad thing?
I think that can be a problem, because there are two things that we do to fight personal shame and fear. One is we achieve goals, and the other is we have relationships. And so if he's, being a loner, even for these guys that like to think of themselves as out in the wilderness with the no fear sticker sign on the Jeep or whatever, that is a shame behavior.
Hmm.
That is because of an internalized message of lack of worth, and so they're trying to compensate for that by being alone. Or it's a fear factor, fear of being in the company of people who might trump you or look better than you. Mm-hmm. And
you kind of touched on this subject a little earlier, but the area of anger and the way it comes out in addictions. Mm-hmm. What about, can she ask or should you look at how much he's into pornography or things like
yeah,
this?
I
what
would,
happens there?
And I would look at, even if he's not, I would look at, I wouldn't look, if you can pick up on the tones of the house, a lot of times, you know, the father might have an addictive behavior or something that he's hiding. And even though the son is maybe distancing from that behavior, the son should at least understand what the father is doing and what he has to do to distance, because the father has passed on the value to the son. The father's passed on the value to the son. I know a dad who was very harsh on his sons about how they should always respect mom and respect the sisters. And, you know, he had all kinds of threats. You know, if I ever see you disrespecting your mother, I'm going to, you know, we're going to go in the backyard and I'm gonna, just going to. But then you'd hear the dad from time to time get in slow traffic or something, and he'd say, it's probably some dumb woman.
Right.
Or he didn't like hearing a woman read, for example. They just don't know how to read. They don't know how to do that. So he was teaching out of his mouth one thing. But you see, we can't do that with our kids. We pass on the values we have, not the values we wish we had. So he raised sons and daughters who didn't respect women. And then if they're ever going to be successful in a relationship, they got to work through that. And so you'd look at not only the son's addictive, you know, if he has addictive patterns, you just don't let those go. Those are shame-based. They're fear-based. They're going to come back and kick the marriage relationship down.
So if he's got some addiction issues going on, that's a red flag. Is that put the kibosh on the thing right there, do you think? Or how long does she give him?
I would think that he should get in a program. He should be in a program. See, the thing is that if he's just kind of has this addiction and he's not doing something about it, what he's telling you is he doesn't think it's important. And that's another way of saying, I don't think you're important enough for me to stop this.
Mm. So some real red flags this week. Is he right for you? We were going to mention, is she right for you? But I think we're going to save that for another show, for what men should be looking for in prospective wives. Interesting conversation. You're going to be posting some of your thoughts here as well at your website, mm-hmm. Christian Forums?
ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
And your other main website is BibleBasedCounselor.com. You have offices in?
Edmonds. And Bellevue.
Edmonds mm-hmm. and Bellevue. And your phone number?
425-778-6169.
Interesting discussion this week with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. Again, his website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. And we'll be back with more of Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor next time here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.